When it comes to the dynamic of spirits and ghosts and the living, where do you stand? Not asking about belief systems, but more so, where do you stand in terms of having control of a situation that involves both parties, both the living and the dead? Some may think, oh, I can handle anything because none of it's real. Some may feel you need to bring in a Catholic priest or an exorcist to handle anything. The reality may very much be somewhere more in the middle. Somewhere we're able to use our own intuition, our own energy for good, pushing negative things away, just as we can with people in real life that are living. That same positive power may make quite an impact on things that we don't want around us that lurk on the other side. That's what we hear about in today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Could the local lore or legends in an area of an Indian reservation actually have some truth to it? Truth that could be dangerous to the living and only fought with positive energy. And is it ever possible to simply will away something like a spirit with one's own energy? Or can the spirit fight back and refuse to leave? We'll talk about that and more in this week's EPP bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, number 407. My name is Tony Bruschi. Stay with us. Legends haunted your hometown. Every town has them. Sometimes you think they're very unique and just in your town. And you grow up and maybe get around a little bit, move out of your town, and you discover, oh, wait a second. This version of the story is just slightly different. And it's everywhere else, too. But oftentimes, stories, lore, especially unique ones, because sometimes some towns, some areas do have very unique stories. They start somewhere. Exactly how, where, what went on in the original version, that's up to history and you to guess. But sometimes they do start somewhere, and that somewhere where they start may be lurking out there to this day, ready to get another story told about it. That's precisely what happens in our next story. Take a listen. I am an American Indian. I grew up on an Indian reservation in South Dakota. I'm ready to share stories I've experienced alone and with my family. Well, growing up, my family and I would drive the back roads of the reservation, cutting through the badlands to reach off-reservation towns. The back roads saved time and cut through the lands of my family. These trips were mainly for food, clothing, household goods. Occasionally, these trips would last late into the day. We'd drive the gravel roads late at night. When I was in high school, I made a trip to a town off reservation with my mother's aunt, the older sister of my maternal grandmother. It was summer, and the day had been hot, so we drove with the windows down. We reached a certain vantage point late into the night where my grandma stopped. She pointed out into the badlands, focusing on the ravines between the tables. She told me to look for lights in the valleys between the rock formations. Not long after, I spotted what appeared to be a bouncing trail of lights. My grandma explained that the lights were the little people who lived in the Badlands. In our language, we call the area Makosika, or Bad Earth, as the soil is alkaline and arid. She explained that as our people were pushed onto the reservation, the little people were also pushed further out to live in their way. One of their places was the Badlands. She explained that the lights were them walking the ravines, either hunting or moving between camps. She told me if I was ever stranded in the Badlands at night, do not follow the lights, as the lights would lead me deeper into the Badlands. As there was no drinkable water in the Badlands, the person would die quickly. The Badlands of South Dakota are a peculiar place. Sometimes when driving the gravel back roads, you'd come upon a lost tourist or find strangest fossils. Once my uncle went hiking into the Badlands looking for arrowheads. He said he walked most of the morning. As the sun was reaching its highest point, he decided to stop and rest. In a washed-out gully, he said he found a line of huge, fossilized turtle shells. He said the turtle shells were the size of a dinner table. They were all in the line facing north. Not having a camera or cell phone, this was in the 90s. He marked down the location so he could return. A few weeks later, he decided to take pictures of the fossilized turtle shells. He retracted his route, but when he found the gully, the fossils were gone. He said he followed the gully, but there were no traces of the fossils. He didn't think someone took the fossils, as the area was deep into the Badlands and not accessible by cars or trucks. He thought maybe the fossils were swept away, but he wasn't sure, as they were very large and embedded in the ground. A few years later, my mother and I were driving through the Badlands to an off-reservation town after spending the morning with my maternal grandmother's youngest brother, my grandpa. My grandpa often visited early in the morning to drink coffee, have breakfast with us. On that day, he explained that he was on his way to another reservation for a church service and was going to be back the next day. Just after he left, my mother and I left for the off-reservation town to shop. As we drove, we were talking about this and that when over the hill in front of us came a car. The road was gravel, which meant cars had to move far onto the shoulder and slow down to ensure rocks did not get thrown at the other car. My mother slowed down and moved over. The car came closer, and we noticed the car was my grandpa's car. He drove a very, very distinct blue and gray older model Chevy that was unmistakable. We slowed down just as the car passed us, and the driver's seat was my grandpa. He did his signature wave and sped off in the direction we had just come from. My mother said it was odd, as he was supposed to be going in the other direction, and wondered how he managed to get ahead of us. We continued, did our shopping, returned home. 2 days later, my grandpa came to visit and was talking about the church services he attended. My mother asked him if he arrived late, as we saw him in the Badlands heading back towards town as we were driving to the off-reservation town. My grandpa said he did not go that way. When he left the house, he stopped for gas, then drove to the other reservation, where he stayed for the day, then went to the relative's house for the night. My mother told him, "Well, we saw you in the Badlands. We saw him and his car." My grandpa didn't have any sort of explanation, only that it wasn't him. The Badlands are odd, and odd things happen there. In the late 90s, my mother moved to and was living in Albuquerque, New Mexico, in a small house built in the 1920s. The house was very cheerful, had roses in the front yard. When you entered the house, the front room was the living area. If you continued straight, you would enter the kitchen. To the left were three bedrooms and a bathroom with a den in the back of the house. It was a large house, but felt cozy and inviting. I went to visit her over the winter, and one night while washing dishes, I glanced to my left into the living room and saw an older man with white hair wearing a gray sweater walk towards the front door and disappear. I stopped and started. My mom asked me what was wrong, and I told her I just saw an old man in a gray sweater walk towards the front door and then disappeared. My mom then told me that they referred to the apparitions as Walter and that he tended to do that. I asked if Walter did anything else. She said he didn't. It was like an old recording that played over and over. The first time she saw him, He scared the daylights out of her, but since he didn't do anything, she let him be. I saw him a few more times during my visit, but just as my mother said, it was like a recording that played over and over. Walter did not seem to see or hear us, so we left him to his walk. Speaking of my mother's home in Albuquerque brings up memories of another house years and years before. In the mid-1980s, my mother's younger sister and her husband lived in a small farming town just off the reservation. The house they lived in was an old farmhouse on the outskirts of town. The off-reservation town was small, mostly grain silos, train tracks, and a few houses. This house was tall with high ceilings, large, thin windows, and wooden floors, the kind of floors that squeaked when you walked. I visited the house with my maternal grandmother, and it felt wrong, like it was crooked or out of place. We didn't stay long and left soon after. A few weeks later, my aunt and uncle moved to another house in another town. Soon after, my aunt explained to my grandma what caused the move. Late one night, she and her husband, my uncle, were in the living room. Her two children were crying. They didn't want to leave my aunt and were hanging on to her. Worrying about how the children were behaving, my uncle went to the kitchen to get something when he was shoved to the ground as my aunt watched in horror. No one other than he and my aunt with their two children were home. My uncle got to his feet, had my aunt grab her things, intending to leave. As they went to the front door, my uncle went to open the door but couldn't. It wasn't locked, but it wouldn't open. After trying the door a couple of times, they then went to the kitchen, where they tried to leave through the back door, but again, the house didn't want them to leave, and the door would not open. It was as if the door was being held closed on the other side. My uncle and aunt both shoved, and eventually the door gave way. That's where we're going to pause the preview portion of this week's EPP bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. In the rest of the episode, we're going to go and dive into a very spiritual story about someone trying to will away the spirits or ghosts or energy that's not necessarily the type of spirit or energy they want around them. Something that seems negative, not necessarily evil, but they use their powers of positivity to push it away and try to find peace. That and more. To hear that and all of our episodes, all 407, including the advanced episodes, including the archive, which is the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories, all of it commercial free, no ads whatsoever. You can binge away on it 24/7. Then go to our Patreon page. Go to patreon.com/realghoststories or search Real Ghost Stories Online in the search bar on the Patreon app. Or go to our website, ghostpodcast.com. All those ways for you to sign up to become an extra podcast person and get access to all of those extras. Check it out and help keep Real Ghost Stories Online on the air.